on a Sunday night at Prior Campus to get down and out because the crowd's so light. I apologize to all of you because this weather the past week was all for me to appreciate at least one or two in the crowd. You guys had to go through the storm for God to remind me, preaching into the eye of a camera a couple times, of man, I'm thankful even when there's a light crowd, because preaching into that camera lens is absolutely no fun whatsoever. Big James Hardy, a lot of you guys know him, the one that we throwed into the pits of hell during the Gates of Hell deal, and he hadn't been saved very long, hadn't been out of prison. We like to bloat him sky high. He left here one night, and boy, he's doing good growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And last Sunday night, he walked in. He said, man, I didn't know there was going to be church. I'm just going to come to pray and read. I don't want to offend anybody if I need to leave. I said, listen, one person on the front row is way better than just one camera in the back. Just sit down there. I'll preach to you. So, even though it's a light crowd, it's better than no crowd, because I had my dose of that starting last March for a few months, and a dose of it just for about three services through this bad weather. So, I am fired up you're here.
Amen.
Thank you. That didn't even sound like you meant that, ma'am. Yeah, go again. That lady's crazy. Well, PCC, Pharaoh Cattle Company, sends out an update via email every Wednesday morning. And I know that comes on Wednesday, and often that's when you catch up on the latest news. And I'm usually doing the 12 and 21 to Wednesday morning, so you guys know what happens on Wednesdays. So there's the 12 and 21 disciple group. There's the sermon preparation, and all of that's going through my head. And then the minute I get on the emails to send the 12 and 21 disciple group, I'm aware that the PCC update comes. So the whole time I'm trying to stay spiritually minded, sending the 12 and 21, working on a sermon for Wednesday night, I'm going to be honest with you, there's 52 weeks in a year. And about 50 of them, I really struggle wanting to know what the latest is and all the updates bring with PCC and being a cooperative producer for him. And so that's a struggle on Wednesday mornings. I've talked to him about maybe changing that to a Monday, but he ain't going to change that just for me. But this particular Wednesday, a couple or three Wednesdays ago, I wish it was more like this. I had a hard time switching from the spiritual to the secular. Now, catch what I just said. More times than not, I have a hard time staying with the spiritual, wanting to go to the secular. But this was one of those mornings that, man, God was just speaking loud and clear through the responses of the 12 and 21 group. And he was just speaking loud and clear through the scriptures that morning. And so I was having a hard time going from the spiritual to the secular. And when I began to read the update, everything that I read just spoke to me spiritually. And that's the way it ought to be in all of our lives. And don't we wish it was more like that more times? Does anybody else struggle like the pastor when we want to get done with our spiritual, we want to get done with that quiet time, as good as we know it is, as important as we know it is? Sometimes the world's just screaming and hollering at us to hurry up and get done with the Bible reading, the praying, and the quiet time, and get on with the other things. So I think we all experience that, and I'm just your pastor being transparent. I fight the same battle that you do. But this particular morning, I want to preach to you from just a few points, as Kayla tells me, they're bullet points. I ain't figured out what that meant, but that's what she said they are when she's doing something for me. She said, well, I can make that a bullet point. And I said, well, just don't shoot nobody with it. So anyway, I just want to preach to you, and your mindset needs to be, when I was reading this, that God was speaking to me and his presence was so there, I couldn't get switched over to the secular, so it spoke to me spiritually. Do you understand all that? The first thing I read, and it's at the top of every update we get, is cowboy logic. And at the top, it says, if you want to know if you're following the herd, check your boots. Now, what he's meaning by that and cowboy logic is he's one of these cattle producers that's trying to tell people that if you continue to try to ranch as your fathers and grandfathers did, that it's going to be impossible for that to be profitable and sustainable because the inputs are so much more expensive and the cattle are just barely bringing any more money. So he's really tries to challenge people to think outside the box and don't do it like the majority of the people are doing it that are complaining about going broke. And so he's trying to make that point. If you're doing it like everybody else, if you want to know if you're doing it like everybody else, traditional way, if you want to find out if you're following the herd, check your boots. And so he was trying to get people to think, and following that article, he just brought up it, what it cost per cow per year to raise a calf. In 1980, it was $365. That's what it cost per year to run a cow, and whatever that calf brought over 365, that was your profit. And he just took the data from the USDA, and the average today is $956 per cow. Now, I know I got some cow guys in here, and I hope our averages ain't that high, but you do the math. It's hard to sell a $956 steer, and if you're doing average and you're going broke, don't check your boots. Check your bank account. That was what he was trying to get people to think of. And just the day before, I talked to a guy that's been an FSA loan officer and now is at a big bank. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, Rob Pierce. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. He said, people that keep just raising calves, selling them in November, he said, it ain't working no more. Their notes are lasting way longer, refinancing. So some of that all come up. But what did that speak to me? See, the reason we do things is because our parents, our grandparents, our ag teacher, somebody taught us that. You know, I'm amazed when it comes to political parties. Why are you a Republican? My dad was, my grandpa was. Why are you a Democrat? That's what dad was, that's what grandpa was. Am I the only one that hears that? I mean, why are you Baptist? Grandpa was. Great-grandpa was. Well, why are you? Because grandpa was. Because dad was. Reminds me of the story about the lady got up and they'd just been married for a little while and she took and cut the big chunk of the ham off before she put it in the roaster. And that new husband looked at that new wife and said, why did you just cut that much of that ham off before you put it in the roaster? She said, I don't know. Mom always did. He said, well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Get your mom on the line. So she gets the mom on the line. She said, hey, Mom, I was fixing to put a ham in the roaster, and I cut a big chunk off of it like you always do. And man, old Hub, he got mad. He wants to know why. He said, that's a lot of waste. And I'm just wondering, why do you cut the end of the ham off before you put it in the roaster? And she said, well, hon, I have no idea. My mom always done it. Your grandma always done it that way. Well, in this family, grandma was still alive. So the Hub said, get grandma on the line. We got to get to the bottom of this. And so the newlywed wife called grandma and said, grandma, listen, I called mom. Told her, I asked her why we cut the end of the ham off before we put it in the roaster. She didn't know. I'm asking you because it's making my hubby awful mad. He says it's a lot of waste. So, Grandma, why do we cut the end of the ham off before we put it in the roaster? And Grandma said, I don't know why you and I don't know why your mom cut the end of the ham off. I had to because my roaster wasn't very big. Folks, lots of times we do things because we've done them that way and we really have no idea why we do them. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, let me tell you something, church. You better know why you do what you do. You better know what you believe and you better know why you believe it. And so listen to me and listen to me closely. We are a people that naturally are herd followers. I want to do a riding with Rob. There's 120-something heifers on my hay meadow, and I can feed them. And it ain't the same heifer every day, but the minute one heifer, the minute the first heifer heads to the pond, you can ride her down. In just a few moments, there'll be 130 going to the pond. Are you with me? Because they follow the herd. And that's exactly what people do. Folks, we better be careful in just following this world and following the majority. How did that speak to me that Wednesday morning? Listen to the verses that just come ringing to my heart that morning. This is why it's so concerning to me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many. That means a herd of them. That's Rob's translation. Who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few, herd quitters, that find that. The ones that are going to quit following the majority, and they're going to follow Christ, they're the ones that find not only the gate to heaven, but the gate to blessings while here on earth. Folks, I would challenge all of us to check our boots spiritually. To check what our life is producing. Because if our life is like all those that don't know Christ and are not on the narrow road that leads to life, we're following the herd. We're no different than the world. And so I thought that statement that he put in Cowboy Logic was worth stopping long enough and challenging the church. Check your boots spiritually. See if you're following the wide, the many, the herd. Are you on the wide road? Are you on the narrow road? But I would challenge you not just when it concerns eternal life, but when it concerns the blessing of God. Check your finances, check your family, check your spiritual, check your emotional, check your mental, and make sure you're following God's way. Know what you believe, know why you believe it. And when somebody asks you why you're a Baptist or why you go to church or why you believe this, your answer is not because my grandpa and my great-grandpa and my dad done it. Your answer comes from, thus saith the Word of God. That's why I do what I do. That's how I got on the narrow road that leads to life. Amen. So number one, that jumped out at to me spiritually. The second thing, it was a quote worth requoting, and you talk about fit our day and time. Listen to this quote worth requoting. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more the society that has drifted from the truth will hate those who speak it. Let me read that quote to you one more time. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more that society that drifts from the truth will hate those who speak the truth. George Orwell. Now, why did he make that statement? Because let me tell you something about Kit Pharaoh. He will rub you the wrong way. Because he wants people to experience what he has experienced with a lot less inputs in cattle, and he wants to help others to be profitable, enjoy it, and sustain a ranch. He wants the cows to support the ranch, not the ranch support the cows. And when he tells people the way you're doing it's not working, even though they hadn't paid down on their debt, even though their off-farm job is paying on it, guess what? Many don't like him because they don't like to hear the truth. As my eldest son puts it, most people can't handle the truth. So he knows that when he says to someone, how you're doing it, it ain't working. Punch the pen, punch the numbers. And he knows that people don't accept him very well. There's just as many that don't like him as does, because he really speaks the truth when the inputs have increased so much and the market hadn't sustained that. And so that's what he was meaning by it. But I told you, I couldn't get off the spiritual. That statement, folks, is that relevant for us today? We live in a country where there's the freedom of speech. But you just go ahead and speak the truth and see if you've got the freedom of speech. As long as you speak something they agree with, it don't make them mad. But our country has drifted so far from the truth that when we speak the truth, this country hates the ones that speak the truth. And the truth's what's going to set them free, but they've yet to figure that out. And so I want you to think about that. I say that fits our society, but that's nothing new. Jesus, he spoke the truth. Listen to John 15:18. This is immediately what I thought of when I read that quote. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This is Jesus speaking. If you were of the world would love its own. If you agree with the way the world's going and you say it's okay to go their way, guess what? They're going to love you. But it says, yet because you are not of the world, and if we're Christians, we're not of the world. Is that right? We're in the world, but not of the world. But I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Aren't you glad he gave us the truth? Aren't you glad you've been set free by the truth? And then he says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. In other words, the ones that heard me speak truth, if they knew me, they'd keep the truth. And guess what? Those that trust what you're saying, which is the word of God, they're going to follow you. They're going to love you also. But watch this. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him. That's God who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me, he also hates the Father. See, when Jesus came, everything was all right. But he came and he told them the truth. That's sin. And when he did, the religious people, who hated him more than anybody? The religious people. Because he told them their religion wasn't cutting the mustard. It wasn't even going to keep them out of hell and get them into heaven. He told them that. And so they hated him. Now, what happened to his buddy? You know what I refer to him as. Johnny B. John the Baptist. He spoke the truth. You know what it got him? It didn't get him a Nobel Prize. It didn't get him a Man of the Year honor. He spoke the truth. You remember that? Herodias? Herod? Come on. He was having an affair with his brother's wife, and what did John the Baptist do? What you're doing is not lawful. In other words, that is sin. Well, that made her mad. So what did she ask for? I want John the Baptist's head. When he spoke the truth to somebody that was saying sin and adultery was okay, they hated him to the point of lopping his head off and putting it on a platter for the wife that he said was an adulteress. The lady that he said was an adulteress. Do you understand that? So it should not surprise us that we get censored on certain media. It should not surprise us when we stand up and we preach sin is still sin, sexual immorality is still sexual morality, and when we speak against homosexuality, and we speak against drinking, and we speak against drugs, and we speak against lying, and we speak against stealing, and we speak against aborting babies, and we speak against this, let me tell you, it shouldn't surprise us one iota. And I don't even know what that means, but it shouldn't surprise us a bit that they hate us for speaking the truth. Why? Because our society has drifted so far from the truth that when we speak the truth, they're going to hate us who speak the truth. So I just want to forewarn you. You're going to keep speaking the truth, this world's not going to like you. And there's so many that's caving in for the applause of men and changing the truth, exchanging it for a lie. And folks, they're on dangerous ground. Don't worry about the people hating you. Worry about the God that loves you and sets you free with the truth of His Word. And all God's people ought to say, amen and amen. So if you want to find out if you're following the herd, check your boots. Check your boots spiritually. Make sure you're on the narrow road and not on the wide road behind the big herd that's going through the big gate. Amen. Secondly, if you speak the truth, get ready. They're not going to like you. And then, thirdly, he got down and one of his bullets was, in bold printing, it's worth the wait. Now, below that, all he said is, our three spring sales, bull sales, are later than most bull sales. In other words, our bull sales will be coming at the end of spring instead of at the beginning. But he's just a marketer, and he was just saying it'll be worth the wait. He's a marketer. He's just telling you, I believe our bulls are better than everybody else. It's worth the wait. That's all everybody's opinion, whether his bulls are worth more than anybody else's. But what that spoke to me was Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles, and they should run and not grow weary, and they can walk and they won't faint. You know, I don't really know if waiting on that bull sells the best thing or not. I'm a CP. He listens to this sermon, I'll be in trouble, won't I? But I'm going to tell you, waiting on the Lord, you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong by waiting on the Lord. The 12 and 21 group, we was going through the gifts. And my big deal is find out what your gift is and use it. And we was going through the gift, and one of the responses from Charlie Romero was, I'm not sure what my gift is. I have a few ideas what it might be. But as of right now, I'm going to take my time. This is a new convert. I'm going to soak it all in until it becomes real clear. Now think about what he just said. He's a new convert. He's being challenged to find his gift. His response was, I don't know what that is right now. I have a few ideas what it might be. But as a new convert, his response is, as of right now, I'm just going to soak it all in until it becomes clear what it is. Now, a lot of people would be pushing people, just jump out there and try. But folks, you can never go wrong when you're waiting on the Lord. Now, if you've been a Christian for 30-something years and you don't know what your gift is, that's not waiting on the Lord. That's just flat lazy. But when you're a new convert and you only have a few ideas what it might be, you are not going to go wrong to wait, soak it in, and see what the Lord reveals your gift is. Because I see so many people think their gift is this, their gift is that, and they jump in both feet, and it gets over their head. And for some reason, that's not their gift. They missed it. They get overwhelmed. Instead of getting out of the water, taking them a deep breath and waiting on the Lord again, more times than not, they veer from the church and we never see them again. I promise you, finding your gift, it's worth waiting on the Lord. so you don't jump in with both feet, get in over your head, get overwhelmed, and then leave the body of believers because you didn't wait on the Lord to find out what your gift was. Amen. I promise you, it's worth the wait if you're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing that he said, and I just couldn't get off the spiritual, keep it simple. You want to make money in cattle, he said, just keep it simple. And here's the quote from a guy by the name of Jim Garish. Now, if you're a cattleman, you probably ought to listen real closely to this. The more petroleum and iron you put between the sun, S-U-N, the sun's solar energy, and your cow's belly, the less profitable you're going to be. Let that sink in, what he just said. The more petroleum, gas, feed, all the petroleum, and iron, I-R-O-N, equipment. You with me? The more that stuff you put between the sun's solar energy, what God provided for those cows, the more that you put between your cow's belly and that sun, the less profitable you're going to be. Come on, folks, that's an easy spiritual lesson. The more things of this world that you put between the S-O-N and His plan, the less blessed, the less productive you're going to be for the kingdom and the glory of God. Well, sometimes we just need to keep it simple, don't we? Just keep that line open between me and Jesus. And when you go do these things in the secular world, if He's priority, if you're feeding off His Word, then everything you go to do, that's just another group of people you get to reach. That's just another area that you can be productive for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. Amen? So if we'll just keep that line between us and God, then when we go out and realize, D.L. Moody put it best. They said, what do you do? I serve God. No, what do you do? Oh, you asking me what I do on the side? I sell shoes on the side. He was a shoe salesman. But you know what he understood? He was doing that on the side. Every person that bought a pair of shoes and every person that had his pair of shoes restored, repaired, you know what they was? They was a prospect, either for salvation or discipleship or to encourage them in the Lord. That's how we ought to be, whether it's construction, whether it's cows, whether it's pest control, whether it's truck driving. If we'll just keep it simple, realize we work for God. And we need to keep as least of these worldly things between us and the S-O-N as we can. And we'll be more productive for the kingdom of God than we've ever been. Amen? That's just a little testimony of one of the good Wednesdays when I had a hard time transitioning from the spiritual to the secular, which I wish it was that way every time, Brother Harold. And when it is that way, God can speak to us in great and mighty ways. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The first thing that I would ask you this morning, this evening, is, are you following the herd? There's a wide road, and there's a whole herd of people that's on it, and they're headed to a wide gate into an eternal hell. And if your life is any no different than that bunch that's on that wide road, you talk the same, you walk the same, you act the same, then that's checking your spiritual boots and you have no reason to think you've been born again and saved. I'm asking you to check your hearts tonight.
And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're following the herd, and you're on that wide road, tonight would be a great night to make a U-turn, to get on that narrow road, to quit the herd, and get on that road with those few that are headed to that narrow gate. If you're lost, tonight needs to be the night that you say yes to Jesus. But then also, sometimes we can be saved, but we still follow the ways of the world. And if that's you tonight, the altars are open. And we here tonight, we know the truth, and we got to keep speaking it. And let's don't be surprised when a society that's drifted so far from the truth hates us when we do speak it. And maybe you've weakened a little bit on the truth, and maybe hadn't been as bold to proclaim the truth. And tonight it was just an encouraging word for you to keep on keeping on. They hated Jesus. They hated John the Baptist. And sometimes it's costly to speak the truth. But we live in a society that needs the truth. And if they're ever going to be set free, the truth's what's going to free them. And maybe you're here tonight. You're at a crossroads and you just don't know what the Lord's doing in your life. And I can just tell you tonight, you're not wasting time if you're waiting on the Lord. So whether you're waiting on the Lord or whether He's told you what to do, that's between you and God. But concluding, going into our prayer time, I think we just need to keep it simple. And may I just say this, the scripture that we hear so often, and maybe we need to hear more. Talk about keep it simple. When I shut the heavens up, when I send the pestilence, when I send the famine, how about today's time when I send a pandemic, when I send a virus? When I do that, not if, when I do that, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Folks, we want to complicate what it's going to take for America to come back to God. It's going to take you and I having a direct line to God. We need to quit complicating it. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray for our leaders, pray for our country, pray for our churches, pray for the lost to be saved. We just need to keep it simple. Father, have your way in the hearts of us, your people tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come? Altars are open.